It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel. All at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome. This is the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and we have an hour of great radio entertainment for you. Today it's going to be drama, and drama about New York City. The historical one from earlier times, I would say the 19th century, early 20th, and the contemporary of the time story from 1945. But we'll start with that. It's Columbia Presents Corwin. From 1945, this is called New York, A Tapestry for Radio.
Orson Welles in Norman Corwin's New York, A Tapestry for Radio. Tonight, in the fourth of a limited series of eight broadcasts for CBS, Norman Corwin is privileged to bring you Orson Welles as narrator of one of the most widely requested of all Corwin's programs, New York, A Tapestry for Radio. The original musical score is by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra is conducted by Lud Gluskin. Orson Welles in New York.
Time, on the four-faced Paramount clock, says in quadruplicate that it is 10 o'clock, and so good evening to you, Queen of the Hemisphere. Four times good evening. And by this time tomorrow, may the enemies of all free men's cities be more desperate and damned than ever. End of salutation. Let us acknowledge that you have a handsome profile, City of New York, and get that over with. Long ago, you were voted the city most likely to succeed. And tonight, the 12th generation of Americans salutes you with special reference to the populace, which takes you for its lawful address. The Manhattanese, Brooklynese, Astorians, Jamaicans, Bronxites, who think the rest of the world is all right to visit, but who wouldn't want to live any place but here. This tapestry, being dimensioned by a half hour of your time and the arbitrary limits of the city, has for its warp the avenues, and for its weft the crosstown streets. The shuttle, traveling back and forth, as you'd expect, between Grand Central and Times Square. As for loom, that's what ships do on the horizons of the city practically continuously, in which connection, God bless our Navy and the ships of the Merchant Marine, as well as the Port of New York Authority and sailors of the National Maritime Union, 346 West 17th Street. So much for shuttle, loom, and weft. Regarding individual threads, you will have to follow them by listening acutely. For there will be excursions and motifs, snatches of native song and speech, time signals, bulletins, reflections, and footsteps, to say nothing of the retirement of batters at first base and of ballerinas from ballet at the age of 40. However, the main design is in the middle and will be clear enough when you stand back and see the whole. The people of the city are the main design. The names in the directories, but for the grace of whom the place becomes an empty mesa, and a pincushion of stone. A petrified island of forgotten dividends and cobwebs in the elevator shafts. What that design is, you citizens of sister cities, you hearers on the plains and uplands, sit still and listen. It well may be a special hope, a pattern of felicity to you and to your kids, to fetuses conceived this month and next, and ever after. That, as I say, comes later. But it's in the weave if you will stay and look it over with us in a certain light.
Hey, Peggy, look who just come out of that store. Tyrone Power in a uniform.
So what do you want me to do, break a leg?
Pick any street in the city from 1 to 241 and take it over to the laboratory for an X-ray. You will find, on developing both the film and yourself, that the corpus wears a top hat, though its toes stick out. That there are present all the elemental backbone virtues of the species. That sin and sickness appear as shadows on the plate. Nothing extraordinary about that, is there, Doctor? And that all the typical figurations of love, hate, fear, passion, tribulation, joy, grief are clearly marked and evident.
Oh, Shorty, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Nothing's cooking.
And what do you hear from your boy?
Oh, Manny?
Yeah, Manny.
What I hear from Manny? He's in the South Pacific. That's what I hear from Manny.
Has he been in any fighting?
Has he been in any fighting? You see this handkerchief?
Yeah.
So I'm blowing my nose in it.
So what?
So it comes from a dead Jap officer. That's what.
Do not underestimate these people, for they are you. Do not hate them because the Yankees keep on winning forever. There will come a team out of Cleveland one day, or Boston. Do not mistrust them because of their accent, for we ourselves might be incomprehensible in Oxford.
So I says to him, sure, I'll miss you. Like poison, I'll miss you, I says to him. If you want to see how much I'll miss you, just stick your finger in the pond at Central Park and then pull it out and look at the hole.
One feature you will notice straight away is the congestion from German Yorkville to outlying Latin quarters. Lebensraum is nil. This is true as well of the areas of Ritz and Pate de Foie Gras, for even on those avenues where finger bowls with lilies in them must precede the coffee.
Ever spot a brandy, Edgar?
The next door neighbor breathed down your incinerator shaft. You can't get the real truth about it in an almanac. The guidebooks can only go so far. They're candid enough about how the local girl made good. But just where in the index is the guy who jumped out of a window because he couldn't take it?
Take somebody your size, New York.
The wind off the river may be an authority on conditions in New Jersey or even in Ohio. But what does it know about a meeting of stockholders at 1 Wall Street at 3 this afternoon?
Total surplus in capital stock, gentlemen.
What knowledge of the shish kebab stuffed grape and cabbage leaves available in the Syrian district? How can the Congressional Limited, which goes only as far as the Penn Station, know about the beauty of the women? About the politics of Williamsburg.
Go fight City Hall. That's what I says to him. He got no answer.
How can you tell from seat number 5 on the plane from Pittsburgh what goes on here? Put your nose to the cold window and look out over the starboard wing. Already you're within the city, though it's still 10 minutes to LaGuardia. There's the harbor, crinkled under the influences of a bland wind. The statue of Our Lady of the Freedoms, a green speck in the blue bay, and the downtown cluster of real estate standing cool and reasonable above the vapors. What can you tell from such an altitude of the clip joints and the subway jams and clinics, of cabbages in wholesale market, and of kings in exile? of time and of the river, of star performances at Hayden's planetarium. Do you know anything of the historic nature of these parts?
George Gershwin slept here.
A flower salesman brightening the night.
Get your gardenias! Get your fresh gardenias!
Of exports and imports of the port.
If you wish your very fine cacciatore, a latticini, a fumicata, just to come to Via della Cioppa, 1275 Bleecker Street, Greenwich Village.
Of the telephone exchanges. The Indians with feathers.
Algonquin 4.
And fat old Dutchmen.
Stuyvesant 995.
And Spanish gold.
Eldorado 5, please.
And Englishmen at
I'm
play.
I'm calling Bowling Green, 99970.
Salute au monde. Oh, Whitman. Whitman of Manhattan, the sun. We ask of you a sentiment about this place. A line that we can quote for our broadcast.
A great city is that which has the greatest men and women.
We thank you. We thank you in behalf of the conjoined creeds, the Jew, the Christian, the Mohammedan, the speakers of the foreign and of the ancient tongue.
Exali quaesamus domini supplicum praeses, et cancet arum tibi passe peccatis, quod parater nobis indulgentiam.
Lord God of hosts, there are very many voters in this town. Your angels would be doing well to know the names of half of them. It is beyond the power of certified public accountants to follow all the comings and goings of the people, to and fro and up and down, especially on weekends and around October 1st. Only the Lord himself could tell just what a man from Harlem thinks this moment, riding downtown on the 8th Avenue Express. Yea, even the hushed transepts of the church might confuse any but the highest.
Good night, darling. Will you call me in the morning?
You mean I can't come in for a while?
No, my mother's sleeping in the front room.
Well, let's stay here on the steps a while, huh?
But I have to punch a clock on Canal Street at 9 in the morning.
Well, how about me? I have to be back at camp.
Well, all right, Ted. Just for a little while.
Yes.
But you'll get lipstick all over.
I'll take that chance.
The season of spring has returned from a winter in South America and has already had certain intimacies with the trees of the public and private parks, as well as the flowers and grasses thereof. It has also appeared in various guises, mostly beguiling but occasionally overcast, with prevailing northeasterly winds. However, on sunny days, somewhat hazy in the morning, clear by noon, it stands leering outside office windows. It fishes for pennies in the gratings of subways and is generally pleased with itself, all the way from Canarsie Marshes to the Yonkers Line. Go down to Kew Gardens in lilac time. It isn't far from Manhattan, and it can be reached easily by taking an E-train on the independent 8th Avenue line or a BMT from Times Square if you want to spend more than a nickel. You can take the Long Island Railroad from Penn Station.
Well, I finally told him.
What do you mean you finally told him?
He says I only develop an interest in an individual if he happens to be socially conscious.
Believe me, that's some nerve.
Personally, I think it's a compliment. It's a privilege to be socially conscious.
Certainly. After all, it's a very important time in history.
Of course. History's being made.
Every day.
So I said to him, I told him, Harry, you should read more.
Come on home, greaseball. Where'd you learn to pitch? Italy?
Give me
a chance.
Charlie, what's the score? And who's in there pitching? Come on, Charlie. Give us a flash from the ballpark. Crowd is cheering a base hit to right by Mahul, sending Buxton home with a tying run. Oh, yes, Charlie, it's well to relax, and a fella needs to get out. But will you not turn to the young Jew beside you, he being a flyer of the Bronx home on convalescent leave, and cheer him for making a base hit, too? The base being Japan, and the hit being right down the alley.
Did he not send a bombing run across the plate? How can you tell the players without a scorecard, Charlie? Look at the ribbons on his chest and drop that subscription to the Brooklyn fascist paper you've been reading. The game is almost over, bud, and the All-Stars are ahead.
Groceries and meat to you in Spanish Harlem. Little Spain out of islands, Caribbean and southerly from here. Brazil, Nicaragua, Colombia, the Argentine. 200,000 people speaking Spanish. A city Pan-American within a city American. And further up the line.
I got peanuts, pinders, I got goobers, ground peas.
Negro Harlem listens to a street cry, and it hears a boogie-woogie piano playing a little original composition down there in the rhythm club. But it ain't just song and honeysuckle, neighbor. It's a place of homes and shops. And it contains the biggest Negro concentration in the world. And if you take the trouble to go down and interview the older docks and slips along the island, they will, if they like you, point out the ghosts of rusty, weathered piers where once fat, crowded slave ships put in from profitable hunting grounds of Africa. How many wars ago? Off these same Manhattan shores tonight, the warships of the reunited states ride at anchor, and men of Harlem are aboard.
Got a beep letter from my boy in India yesterday. Said he visited the Taj Mahal. But for his money, don't come up anywheres near to the Empire State Building.
In 750,000 New York windows of all sizes and conditions, the service star gives notice to the passerby that each has sent a delegate to the Convention of the Nations with instructions to shoot on sight. Fire and blood are first on the agenda, and participating in the various contests, east side, west side, all around the world, is the Swede from Bruckner Avenue.
Hey, will you tell Holder to send me a picture of the baby? Here I got a kid 2 years old and I ain't even seen him yet.
And the muscular Greek corporal from 25th Street.
Look, when you go back, will you tell him what we like is Dinah Shore records and a transcription of a Fred Allen show? Personally, I'd appreciate a couple of snappy pinup girls and a good hot dish of stifado.
And Captain Mahoney of Flatbush, moral stockholder of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
We'll bomb you once again, Japan. You wish you had have stood in bed. We'll give it to you on the lam. 2-ton shillelaghs on your head. Head.
O G.I. Joe of Manhattan, the sun. Your father came to the city on a big white ship, or a dirty tramp, or a cattle boat. And the ship had a name. But you have slipped down the Hudson in the night on a gray ship, nameless. The hour likewise, anonymous. The compass bearing, sealed inside an envelope. The city of immigrants has emigrated to the wars. The borscht and the pastrami, the feinkuchen and the smorgasbord patiently await the last communique. Meanwhile, Nostrand Avenue is deeply interested in the westward course of landing barges, and a Staten Island ferry full absorbs the evening paper for the latest dope from Tokyo. Americans on this wavelength, can you make out the bright green threads among the lesser colors in this tapestry? The interwoven hopes of those who turn the turnstiles? The dreams held by commuters to the well-kept lawns of Scarsdale and Greenwich? Tune in on Sunnyside. Canvas the gas house and the garment districts. Take a poll of visions on Park Avenue, Hell's Kitchen, and the Bowery. You'll see they aren't so far apart. Just hold the hopes up to a light. One at a time. From Lenox Avenue, for instance.
I just want my boy to come home, that's all, on his own 2 feet. And with a war won, so's it'll stay won.
From Tormund Street near J.
I'd like to see my way clear to be able to afford a bathtub in this house.
From West New Brighton.
Won't it be grand to be able to fly in from Westport every morning in a helicopter?
From 9th Street and Avenue D above the garage.
The whole city. If it only could look like the park along Riverside Drive, huh? Roller skating and handball and tennis courts and grass and trees. All new houses instead of these old tenements. Boy, won't that be something.
From Sutton Place South.
Just think, Paul, your branch office in Shanghai, 36 hours across the North Pole. Pelham Bay to Liverpool in 12.
Can a song of hope be sung by the graduating class of PS 166, arranged for symphonic orchestra and choir, and performed at Carnegie? Danced to at Roseland? Given the works by Melchior at the Met? Could be, gentlemen. Could be. Many a hit tune has come from Broadway. Uptown on the downbeat, lads, and take it away. City of Ginsburg and Garibaldi, Koslovsky and Lopez. What are you doing on St. Patrick's Day? Marching, of course, down Fifth Avenue. And what are you doing on San Gennaro's Day? Dancing, of course, along Mulberry Street. The rumor being there are more Italians in New York than in Napoli, or Roma, or Firenze. And the candles on this day, this year, burn brightly for the martyred saint. And though the sweetmeats would be sweeter far if Frankie and Pasquale were home from Okinawa, they taste pretty good as they are. Blessed be the Virgin Mary. And on Bastille Day, the French Republic's Independence Day, hardly a fortnight further into summer than our own, the tricolor is flown beside the flag that Lafayette, a lend-lease general, helped us to get started. Whereas Hungarians and Czechs and Germans, Hindus, Balkans, Portuguese and Danes, they have their little cities within the city, too. Their churches and their restaurants and gift shops, movie houses, newspapers and foreign language programs on the radio. Is there by any chance on the island tonight a visiting fireman from Kansas City who knows somebody in Washington with connections in London? If so, would he kindly take a message to the peace conference, the one that G.I. Joseph of 82nd Street is at the moment still fighting to arrange, and see that there is smuggled in among the representatives the mere hint of the barest memorandum of a notion. Something for their scratch pads to be scrawled upon and doodled over during deepest thought. A mark, a democratic imprint, a U.S. figuration, a Yankee doodle. This is what it is. Here, in the tall city with a British name, the people of all nations, checkering the numbered streets, having come from Warsaw, having come from Plymouth, Kleinwardein and Chungking, having come from Africa and Oslo and Caracas, having worked and played and voted, loved and listened to the radio, fought in the wars and paid for them as well, having kept their customs and their languages, played their own sweet music on the fiddle and accordion, did nevertheless find time to rear and populate the greatest city in the world and make of it a symbol celebrated up and down the longitudes. You see, it can be done. Yea, make a note of it. It can be done. You have it on the solemn word and deed of all the five boroughs, gentlemen, that nothing is impossible. Do but consult the main design and see, in miniature, the nations living side by side so effortlessly. No one calls it peace. Yea, block to block and house to house and door to door, they get along. With scraps betimes, a little botheration such as happens in the best of families. But never anything a court or free election can take care of. Now then, you want to buy a rug? Very fine. A bargain. Genuine American. Then take a look at this. Oriental in parts, but all the compass points come into it, and see the main design. Is that a hope, or isn't it? A hope that out of little people, greatnesses, and towering accomplishments, rapid transits to tomorrow morning, and fraternity along the grand concourse. Ahoy, the century ahead! Announce it in lights above Broadway, and post it in the public library. Workers, lovers, kids, and patriots, near and far, along the mainstream and lesser eddies of the network. Greetings from the city. Greetings. Greetings!
You have been listening to Orson Welles, an especially requested repeat performance of New York, A Tapestry for Radio, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin as the fourth in the current series of Columbia Presents Corwin. Mr. Welles is soon to be seen in international pictures, Tomorrow is Forever. In tonight's production, Charles Lewin and Lou Ashworth assisted Mr. Corwin in the production. The musical score was by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra was directed by Lud Gluskin. Next week at this time, Columbia presents Corwin's newest play, A Walk with Nick, co-starring two of the screen's most accomplished young actors, John Hodiak and Joan Loring. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Orson Welles and Norman Corwin's New York, A Tapestry for Radio. Well, if you haven't heard, the RTC Weekly Download is affiliated with the Radio Theater Channel, which is a streaming radio station, and you can listen to old-time radio, and it's scheduled, and it's the sound has been improved, restored. You can listen to that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and here's how you do it. Go to www.oldtimeradiolisten.com and click on the Listen button. It couldn't be simpler than that. Give it a try. I think you will enjoy it. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll definitely enjoy that. Time now for our second feature of the podcast, and it's the Damon Runyon Theater. It's set in New York. This was made in 1949, but it's set in earlier times. This is called The Brakeman's Daughter.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon, and this one, The Brakeman's Daughter. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Well, it is of a fine spring morning, and I am just standing on the corner of 44th watching the spring weather take over and trying to get a few gulps of fresh air in between large portions of taxi exhaust. That is a wonderful morning, and I am thinking how wonderful it is when I feel a tap on my shoulder. I look around and see a young guy's face grinning at me. The face opens and says,
"Well now, my old pal Broadway.
Sir Hummingbird. Well, 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 and how are you?"
"Just great. You ain't changed a bit since I saw you last."
"2 years ago, huh?"
"Yeah, just about."
"What brings you to New York from Cleveland, Ohio?"
"Oh, the big false face sent for me." No rough stuff, just sort of a business conference."
"When the big false face calls a business conference, it is very likely to get rough."
"Nah, everything's peaceful." "Oh, boy, what weather. I like spring."
"It has its points. Mainly, it brings on no snow."
"Uh-huh. You know, Hey, Broadway, take a look at this doll coming at us."
"Yeah, she is very restful in the eye."
"You know her?"
"Never see her before." You know a hummingbird?"
"Me? No."
"She looks at you."
"Yeah. Boy, I never saw a doll like that before."
"Neither do I."
"You know, I wish I knew her. Yeah, I sure do."
"Well, I cannot help agreeing with the hummingbird, because the doll who passes is very pleasant to behold. Also, she looks at him, and he looks at her, and it is just the same as if they hold 2 hours' conversation. For they are both young, and it is spring. And the way language can pass between young guys and young dolls without them saying a word is practically uncanny. Well, the hummingbird gets his wish. He meets her. And how he does, and what happens after, is something I will tell you in a minute."
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Brakeman's Daughter.
Like I say, the hummingbird gazes after the doll. She looks back at him, and there is almost a high voltage line between them. Then something happens.
"Gee, what a doll. What a
doll." "Hey, she is not looking where she is going."
"Crossing against the lights. That truck. Hey, miss! Come on, Broadway. Hey, miss! Look out!" "Hey, what do you think you're doing, crossing a cow pasture?"
"You hurt? You all right?"
"Why,
Yes, that was stupid of me.
Nah. Well, look where you're driving that truck, Mac.
Yeah, maybe you want trouble, huh?
None at all. But I got some extra if you want any.
Oh, please, it was my fault. I wasn't looking. I crossed against the line.
Sure you did.
You better move on, Mac.
Who do you think you are?
I said you better move on.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
You look, miss. You got to get out of the street. Come on.
Thanks.
You all right, little miss?
What? Oh, yes, thanks. Just a little shake.
That is a narrow escape you had.
I should have tattooed that truck driver's noggin a little.
Oh, no, it wasn't his fault. I guess I've got to learn how to cross streets in New York.
You're new here, huh?
Yes.
Oh.
I didn't thank you for pulling me out of the way.
Oh, it's all right.
Well, you could have been hurt.
Not a chance.
Yes, there was.
Oh, forget it.
I guess I'll be going.
Sure.
I've got some shopping to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
I guess I'll be going.
Uh-huh.
I guess she has to go, Hummingbird.
Yeah.
Well, goodbye, and thank you again.
Oh, sure. Don't mention it.
Goodbye. I've got to be going.
So long.
Her name is Sophie Glutz, and she lives in Flatbush.
Huh? You say something, Broadway?
I say her name is Ermeline Wurzenheimer, and she lives in Schenectady.
What?
Like I say, her name is Salome Schultz. She lives in the Bronx.
Holy mackerel, I don't even know her name.
Now, that is very strange. You practically save her life, and you do not find out her name.
What a dope, what a sap.
Well, she is walking very slow, like. I do not think she is in much of a hurry to get someplace.
Sure, come on.
I will wait here. Well, get going. For a guy who is hurrying after her, you are given a great imitation of Grant's tomb.
Let it go.
Now I see everything. The Hummingbird passing up a chance to meet a doll.
That kind, yeah.
Why do you say that?
Dolls like her ain't for me.
She does not seem to think so.
Nah, she don't know me from Adam.
This is news.
Well, you don't get it. You've got a good look at her?
I am fairly busy taking in details, yes. Why?
So, a doll like that wouldn't give a guy like me a tumble if she knew who I was.
Oh? Uh-huh.
Well, you know it. Chances are she'd keel over in a dead faint if she found out I was the Hummingbird.
You got another name?
Forgot it long ago.
I see.
A Hummingbird. Flits from doll to doll. All the same kind of dolls. Not like her.
I get your point, but things can change.
For me? Yeah, what am I standing here for? I gotta find the big false face and see what he wants with me.
Oh, sure.
Besides, he promised to introduce me to a real classy doll.
Oh, so?
Sure. Doll he calls the Brakeman's Daughter.
The Brakeman's Daughter?
Yeah. Hey, you said that like you knew her.
No, I never meet her.
Why you got that funny look on your face?
I have? Well, I... Maybe I think of something funny.
Oh, okay. Want to come along with me?
Where?
See the big false face.
Who, me? Look, Hummingbird, if I know the kind of a meeting this will be, and I think I do, I will stay away.
There ain't gonna be no trouble. Come on along. Maybe we'll have some laughs.
Maybe we will have some laughs, he says. He does not know that the big false face has a sense of humor. And one of the face's biggest jokes is the brakeman's daughter. Anyway, I go along with the Hummingbird, and we get to the place where big false face is having this little meeting. He is called false face because he always wears a castor oil smile that looks like it is painted on. This smile is strictly a throw-off because he is often smiling when he is not amused at anything. Well, like I say, we get to the place. The Hummingbird goes in a room. I sit outside with a guy by the name of Crowbar Connolly, one of the face's boys. And the scene is as follows.
How come you come along, Broadway?
Me? Well, Crowbar, it is a long time since I see the Hummingbird.
You didn't tip him to the gag, did you?
No.
Good thing. False face don't like his gag spoiled.
Does he not ever get tired of the Brakeman's Daughter, Rip?
Why should he? It's a good gag. I remember the time Rocco Scarpati got it.
Yeah, so do I.
It was in the dead of winter. Rocco didn't find his way out of the woods. He froze to death.
Yeah, I remember.
Of course, it wasn't False Face's fault.
No, of course not. He has nothing to do with it.
He just likes his fun, that's all.
A very light-hearted guy.
Working the gimmick on the Hummingbird is going to be good. The kid's a lady killer. You know what the False Face tells him?
No.
He tells the Hummingbird that the brakeman's daughter sees him the last time he's in town. Can't wait to meet him. That good?
Oh, it is screamingly funny. And it will be especially funny when the Hummingbird finds out there is no such character as the brakeman's daughter.
Look, he ain't going to find it out unless he's tipped. As I told you before, the False Face don't like his gags tipped.
Believe me, Cropa, as much as I like the Hummingbird, I like to live also.
You're smart, Broadway.
I am alive.
Boys are in there a long time. Maybe the False Face is having trouble with Cheeks.
Cheeks? Cheeks Shiraki?
Yeah, why?
Oh, there is a bad boy.
Yeah, the False Face got him to rights. Cheeks don't want to go along with the merger. Well.
Yeah, I see.
Uh-huh. Now, I...
So we got it all settled, huh, Cheeks?
I guess I gotta play ball with you, False Face.
Sure, sure. We all team up. Make a better deal for everybody. Well, hello, Broadway.
Hello, False Face.
I'm kind of surprised to see you here.
So am I.
I brought him along, False Face.
Oh, I see. Maybe you told him where you was going tonight, Hummingbird, huh?
Yeah, I told him.
Huh? The brakeman's daughter is a classy doll. Ain't she, Broadway?
Huh? Oh, sure, sure she is, yeah.
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 I gotta be running along, Face.
Sure, Cheeks.
Yeah, see you later.
Wait a minute, Cheeks.
Yeah.
You're satisfied with the deal, ain't you, Cheeks?
Sure. It's a good deal. Why?
I was just asking. You seem kind of sore in the other room.
Sore at you, Face?
Maybe.
Why should I be sore?
Maybe because you ain't gonna like me as top man.
I got no argument.
That's the way, Cheeks. That's the way. You play ball my way. And you'll play ball a lot longer.
Sure, I get it. Well, see you later.
Cheeks ain't real happy.
Better watch him, Face.
I will, Crowbar. Well, what's everybody looking so down about, huh?
I guess I have got to go.
Stick around, Broadway.
I have got an appointment.
Later.
You want me any more, Face?
No, Hummingbird. Hey. Oh, boy, are you a lucky guy. Ain't he, Crowbar?
Yeah, there's a million guys who'd give their right arms to meet the brakeman's daughter.
Yeah, and boom, she sees you talking to me the last time you're in town, and right off she falls. Like that.
Yeah?
Am I kidding, Crowbar?
No, she falls for you, all right, Hummingbird.
Like all dames do.
Yeah.
I wish I could make them tumble like that.
Well, it's a gift, Face.
I guess so.
What time you want me to meet you tonight?
8, right here.
Sure, I'll be here. Yeah, come on, Broadway.
Yeah, sure.
Stick around, Broadway.
But I have
Stick around. I ain't seen you for a long time. I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, but I... All right.
See you later, Broadway. Face.
Sure. You don't think it's funny, Broadway?
Ha ha.
You got objection?
Look, Face, why pull the gag on a nice kid like the Hummingbird? Pick a guy like Cheek.
He knows the gag. I pulled it on him 2 years ago.
Oh.
You ain't figuring on maybe tipping the Hummingbird, are you? Broadway, I like to have my fun.
Yeah, but the Hummingbird will find out I know the gag. He is not going to take it kindly that I do not tip him.
And I won't take it kindly if you do.
You don't want to spoil no fun, do you, Broadway?
I love to see everybody happy, including myself. But one cannot have everything in this world, I guess.
It's the ticket. look, the Hummingbird's a cinch to fall for a rib like the brakeman's daughter.
Yeah.
First off, he is a 1-2 hit with the doll. Second, he knows it. Third, he never passes up a chance to make the acquaintance of any new doll. Brother, oh, I can hardly wait to see the look on his face. Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Yes, it is a big joke. But it turns out a little different than the big false face thinks it will. Now, maybe you are wondering what the gag is and what is all the mystery about. Well, I will tell you that in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, The Brakeman's Daughter.
Well, it comes up that night. The Hummingbird comes into Mindy's where I am having a bite to eat. He sits down, and the scene is as follows.
I'm kind of jittery tonight, Broadway.
Huh? To tell the truth, I am more than somewhat nervous myself.
Yeah? What about?
Well, I do not know.
But come to think of it, you've been acting kind of funny. What's eating you?
Nothing at all, Hummingbird. Nothing at all.
I got a kind of funny feeling. Maybe I shouldn't go with the false face tonight.
What makes you feel that?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a funny thing. A week ago, I'd have jumped at the chance to meet up with a classy doll like the face says the brakeman's daughter is, and...
Yeah.
Why do they call her that?
Well, I... Well, you see... But does not False Face tell you the whole story?
Well, he did say something about her old man being pretty careful about the doll.
That is it.
And, they live out in the island, way out.
That is what I hear.
You know, I wonder if it's worth it. Maybe I just ought to forget the whole thing.
Maybe you should.
On the other hand, why should I pass up the chance to meet the doll? She says she wants to meet me.
Uh-huh.
Ever since this morning when I saw that other doll, I've been jumpy. I wish I'd have gotten a name and address.
She seems like a very nice doll to know.
But not for me, I guess.
Well, hello, Hummingbird. Broadway.
Hiya, Crowbar.
Oh, Crowbar.
Ain't it about time you got going, Hummingbird?
Well, it's only a quarter to eight.
Yeah. Gee, I wish I was you, kid. I see the brakeman's daughter once, and she is 100%. Me. No doll like that ever goes for me.
Mm. Well, guess I'll be going.
Sure. Good luck, kid.
Thanks. See you later, Broadway.
Yeah, okay, Hummingbird.
Been a good boy, Broadway?
Yeah.
Face can hardly wait. He's got a new angle all cooked up for the Hummingbird.
Oh? I think he thinks of every angle. He works the gag 100 times.
Oh, this is different. He planted some of the boys out there. And listen, when he knocks on the door, one of the boys is going to start blasting away with a rod. Like it's the brakeman guarding his daughter.
My, my. The face certainly does it up fancy.
Naturally, the Hummingbird's going to take the wind because he didn't want to catch any lead.
A very sound decision.
And the face is going to lead him into the woods out there and lose him.
The same woods where Rocco Scarpati freezes to death. Huh?
Yeah. That was an added attraction.
Yeah. I wonder what the Hummingbird is going to say and do when he finds out what happens to him.
Who cares? It's only a gag. I'd like to see the Hummingbird's face when he's wandering around in them woods with nobody around for miles and miles. Boy, he's going to be real tired when he finally gets back to New York.
So that is the gag. The Hummingbird is the sucker. The big false face will lose him in the woods. Well, Face and the Hummingbird get out to this lonely part of Long Island. It is very dark, and the only way you can get there is in a car. The house is one that nobody lives in, so it is perfect for the rip. Then the proceedings go as follows.
You gotta be real quiet now, Hummingbird.
I can get lost out here. Hey, how come this doll lives in a joint like this?
I told you.
Our old man don't like nobody to get close enough to hand her a slice of fruitcake.
Look, maybe it ain't worth it.
Are you kidding? I tell you, this doll is $1 million, a pile of diamonds. And she takes a fancy to you.
Dolls are a dime a dozen.
Not like this one. Wait a second.
What's the matter, Face?
Nothing. I just want to be careful.
You sure the brakeman ain't home?
She told me he's on a run to Albany.
Yeah, but maybe he'll come back.
You scared?
Me?
You're acting like it. The way I hear it, you ain't afraid of nothing.
Well, you heard it right, Face.
Well, then what are you beefing about? You scared of an old guy?
I'm scared of nobody.
If you are, we can go back to the car and drive back to New York. Well?
I was just thinking.
About what?
Another doll.
Who?
I don't know.
You crazy?
Guess so.
Now, look. I promised a doll I'd bring you tonight. You're going to make me look like a Welshman?
Okay, let's go.
Sure.
Where's the house?
Right up ahead.
I don't see any lights.
Sure not. There's trees in the way.
Yeah.
Now, look. I'm going to go onto the porch with you, and I'll knock on the door. When the doll answers, you're on your own, see?
I get it.
All right. I'll wait at the car for you.
Okay.
Careful now. We're almost there. There's the porch.
Okay, let's go.
You got to take it easy. Take a look around first.
I don't see anybody. Fact is, I don't believe there's anybody around for miles.
Except the brakeman's daughter.
All right, let's go.
Sure. Now remember, I'll knock, the doll will answer, and then I leave. You got it?
You told me 100 times.
I just want to be sure you know.
Okay, there's the door.
Boy. This is going to give you one big kick.
Well?
It's funny. Somebody ought to answer.
Who's that? What's going on there?
Beat it, kid. It's the brakeman.
Face! Hey, Face!
The woods to the right. Come on.
Face!
Come on!
In here. Get in here.
What the?
Please get in.
I can get out of here.
Please be quiet.
You.
Never mind that now. Wait.
Look here, doll. I... Hey, it's a car. Close. Hey, you. You're the girl this morning.
I guess they're gone.
You, what are you talking about? What are you doing here?
I live here.
You... No, you ain't the...
Oh, I was scared. Those men came here. They hid all around the house.
What men? Look, miss, open up, will you? Give, spill it. What happened?
I was upstairs. I heard a car pull up and stop, and then I heard some men talking. I was scared.
Well, why didn't you call the cops?
There's no phone.
Well, you could have put on the lights.
There are none, not yet.
Look, maybe we better start from the beginning. Now, tell me what happened.
Well, I heard the car, and then the men. I came downstairs. Somebody tried this door, but I'd locked it from the inside. They tried the windows, but I'd locked them.
Yeah, then what?
Well, I waited and listened. They went off the porch around to the side of the house. I heard them talking.
Well, who? Who were they?
I don't know, but... Well, I heard one of them say something that sounded like... Sheik.
Sheik? Sheik? Cheeks! Was it Cheeks?
Yes, that was it. Cheeks.
You wait here.
Where are you going? Please don't leave me.
Okay, come along. But easy.
When I saw you and heard you.
Just enough moonlight for that.
What were those men doing? And I...
Wait. You better stop right there.
Why?
Take it easy.
He's dead.
Yeah. Got enough slugs in him to sink a battleship.
Who is he?
He was a guy we called Big False Face. Now, it's okay, baby. It's okay. There's nothing to worry about now.
If I hadn't recognized you, you would...
Yeah. If you hadn't, I'd have been with False Face right alongside him.
He could have killed you, too.
Seems likely. Now, maybe you better start doing some explaining.
Me?
But... Yeah. How come you were here?
Well, I live here.
So you're the...
I just moved in today. It was the only place we could find. That's why there are no lights, no phones.
Oh, yeah. And you're sure nobody lives in this place before you come in?
No. That's why I wondered how you found out who I was and how you found my address so soon. How did you?
Don't make no difference now. Yeah, looks like a real funny gag. Yeah, a real funny one. Only it didn't work out the right way. For a guy I used to know.
That is what happens. Cheek Shiraki takes advantage of the opportunity to rub out Big Paul's face. It is a perfect spot for it. Well, there is a big to-do. The gendarmes do a lot of work, and they come up with Cheeks. Naturally, the hummingbird is cleared because the doll tells what she knows. But that is not the end of the story. And what the payoff is, I will tell you in a minute. Like I say, Cheek Shiraki is tagged for rubbing out Big Paul's face. Then it is a couple days later that I am sitting in Mindy's with the hummingbird talking about the whole thing.
Cheeks had it figured perfect. He knew the false face was going to be out there. I'd be the only witness. Besides a couple of the faces, boys who were rubbed out first.
And the doll saves you, huh?
Yeah. Cheeks didn't know she was in the house. It looked perfect. But it wasn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, what did you know about the gag?
Me? I know it all along, hummingbird.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
And you didn't tell me?
Only because I have no idea what is going to happen.
Okay. Oh, no.
What is the matter?
Look, the doll, come on over here. I got to get out of here.
You do? Why?
Well, just because I...
Hello, dear.
Hi.
Hello, miss. Sit down.
No.
Hummingbird, where are your manners?
Thank you. You left so suddenly the other night.
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Well, I had some business to attend to.
I guess so. I thought maybe you'd come out and see me, but you didn't. So I asked about you, and someone told me I might find you here.
Okay, you found me. So what?
Nothing.
You know, hummingbird, it seems to me that a young miss like this needs somebody to show her around New York.
Okay, show her.
Who, me? Oh, I can think of no place interesting she might like to see if I took her.
Okay. What odds will you give me, Broadway?
On what?
On my chances.
Oh, I never take such a short-end bet.
What are you talking about?
Oh, a brakeman's daughter.
What? What did you say?
The brakeman's daughter. But, forget it.
You're an amazing person.
I am?
He is? Why?
Why, because first you found out where I lived without even knowing my name. Then you seem to know my father.
I do?
Well, you're only a little wrong. You see, my father is one of the oldest and best-known conductors on the Erie Railroad.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, The Brakeman's Daughter. Listen in again next week for... The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville, and the stories adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. Vern Carstensen is in charge of production. This is a Mayfair production.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.